boy, I kind of, I just loved that poem as a child. I just, I had the whole thing down.
You know, I knew one which I recited, I suppose, 150 times in school, of Walt Whitman's. Oh, Captain, My Captain. It was about Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. The dreadful trip is done.
Beautiful.
We just have to take two more shots and we're through.
Oh, okay, I'll keep.
Beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
Okay, you spoil me.
Huh?
You spoil me.
Well, you were spoiled.
Let's take a look back here.
Are you doing the local stations today, too?
I have no idea. I think I have another.
Excuse me. Do you want to get Johnson in the convention list to move this through some or something yet?
No, I'm leading in with the
right,
speech
okay.
from the Congress.
Right.
I have a something called face to face.
Oh.
Is that you? That's not
no,
your
No, no. This is Inside Albany.
Gen Channel 10.
Oh.
What the? What is that? Is that a public?
No, that's the CBS, I think.
CBS Network.
No, ABC, I'm sorry. ABC, they switched recently.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having a press conference, and so that will include, I guess, others. An interesting campaign when instead of showing your own picture, you show your opponent's. Topsy turvy.
Yeah.
How do you? Well, you're gonna tell me you're gonna win, but how do you? Do you think he has a? Does he have any kind of shot at this?
I will never tell you I'm gonna win. I've never predicted my own election.
Mm-hmm.
I have many idea what will happen. I hope to win it. That's all I can do. I'll do my best. And that's all. I've never really, it's funny, you know, all these years, there's so many elections.
Mm.
I've never predicted my election. And when I speak, I never say when, I always say if.
Mm. It's about to get there.
Do you think the Liberals are going to endorse Anderson?
We're all done.
There's a chance. I'd say it's at least 50-50, maybe better. They got a fellow running in now named Ray Hardy.
Yeah.
Who's a risk taker. I don't think that his predecessor would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. We'll be out of your office
Peg,
in a moment.
Thank you. Glad to see you.
Gary, don't take down that light yet. Peg?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure. Yeah,
Senator, okay. Using his office for a moment?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Okay, then we're
done.
Wow. It's a mighty good record.
I certainly have. If I can't be in the place where I'm supposed to vote, I will have to be there when I see them.
That's very good. And. But I will tell you, in all the years that I've run, it's the first time I've run into this kind of personal vituperation.
Yeah.
After all, you know, this is a pretty high office.
Yep.
And frankly, it's not so much how I feel, what difference does that make? But I think it's quite a reflection upon the man who's aspiring to be a senator of the United States. I can hardly see how that kind of a temperament is going to endear him to his colleagues. And this is, I think, the important thing for our people. I mean, you know, our people would have the right to say, well, if you don't like it, that's just too bad. But if it's bad for them, which I feel it is, very bad for them, because I know the Senate and a fellow who has any more restraint and civility than that, I don't think it's going to be a long term one.
if you were having somebody do up a plaque to commemorate your years in the Senate at the end of your many years, in addition to Employee Retirement Income Security Act and the War Powers Act, what would you want them to think? What are the things you most want them to remember you for?
I'd want to remember you for the civil rights fight in 1964. I'd want to be remembered for the arts bill, which took me 16 years to get passed. National Endowments of the Arts. I'd like them to remember me for my collaboration with Hubert Humphrey, which produced the Youth Employment and Training Act. I'd like to be remembered for trying hard to get working women daycare slots so they could work. I'd like to be remembered for my sponsorship of so many measures for trying to train young people and teach them how to hold a job and keep them in school instead of inducing them to drop out of school. And I'd like to have them remember me for the effort to turn unemployment into a productive and not a sterile activity by introducing into it an element of job training and education. And I would also like to think about sensitivity and intelligence and the struggle for peace,
okay,
and keeping our allies with us.
You know, there was a book about Washington politics that said, the line I remember from it, that said that all politicians should be born orphans and remain bachelors because of the sacrifice you have to make in terms of family life and so on. You've had a long and productive career in the Senate. Are there times when you regret the amount of sacrifice in terms of time with
of
your family
course.
And your children?
And I was strongly minded to retire this time for exactly that reason. But I found that as I thought about it, and I did for 6 months or more, matter of fact, it is said that the reason I have a primary fight is because I waited to announce. But I couldn't help it. I really was in grave doubt. And the final decisive feature was that I found, knowing as I do, the unbelievably perilous issues we face, both at home and abroad, that I just couldn't turn my back on them at this stage of my life, considering the seniority and the influence which all this time has given me.
You remember a time when your son Joshua was graduating from law school? Mac Mathias was telling me about this. He was supposed to be at a rally for Soviet Jewry, I think, at the Battery Park. And
right.
You remember sort of being torn by that?
I was.
And you resolved that one in favor of Joshua. Was
well,
that, I think Mac
I'm a lawyer, and my son is now a lawyer, and it was one of the greatest announcements I'd ever heard when he called me up and said he'd passed the bar. So that decision, I couldn't make any other way.
Was this, that was the occasion of his graduation from law school?
Right.
What law school did he go to?
Georgetown.
Is this perception of you as being something of an outsider in the Senate still a valid perception, or do you think you've overcome that now, despite all these years of being a minority in the minority party?
The Senate has overcome it, mostly, and I've overcome it. The day of the Lords of the Senate and the club is over. There's no longer a club in the Senate. And so my ability as a draftsman and a lawyer and the reconciler of points of view has earned its due. And hard work has as well, and longevity of service. To that extent, I have contributed. But it's also a matter of a very important point that the Senate Club, which may be perhaps best visualized in the figure of Senator Russell of Georgia.
Yes.
You know, kind of.
He gave it to you pretty good.
The grand poobah of the club,
right,
is over. There is no Senate.
And Eastland is gone, too.
Eastland's gone. It's Collins.
Okay. The one knock that is put upon you in terms of your performance in office as a senator, opposed to other various criticisms that don't really relate to some performance, is that people feel you haven't exerted leadership. Everybody gives you credit for your craftsmanship as a legislator and for your ability to compromise and so on. They feel like you perhaps ought to have stepped out the front more on some things like Watergate and so on. How do you feel about that criticism?
Well,
is it overdrawn?
I would say it is somewhat overdrawn because I'm quite low-key. That's been very effective. In other words, you're always always pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And therefore, the, you know, to exercise the role of Henry Clay, you can't be out there, you know, very flashy. So I would, but this is my nature. And so I would, not for a moment, pose as some big glamour puss and wows them. I've sought to produce results, and I've paid a price for it. However, it's not true that I have not exercised leadership, because there are so many measures on the books that have been passed with me fighting for them, and there are so many measures kept off the books because I fought them. But I feel I would qualify, not as the single greatest leader of the United States Senate in recent time, but as one of its leaders.
Why do you remain a Republican? Why do you stay in a party that in many ways, or the heart of which has moved far away from your own beliefs in many, many areas? Why do you
two reasons for that. One is I believe the American two-party system should accommodate a broad spectrum of ideological views in order to keep it the two-party system. And if I, like Goldwater, am one of the poles of a party, that's good for the party. It keeps our party a two-party system. I mean, if you elect D'Amato, what are you going to get? You're going to get another one of those 10 or a dozen ultra-conservative senators who are still fighting about prayer in the school, public schools. And you know predictably just what they're going to do or how they're going to vote. And that is not a two-party system. So the second thing is I don't believe in changing.
Okay.
I think it's a disaster wherever it's been done. And I don't believe.
Okay. How did you react on a personal level when one of the great Neanderthals of Senate history, Paul Curtis, beat you out for what was not essentially a very important leadership post, but it would have expressed the party's appreciation to you for your services? So
well,
how did you feel personally?
I reacted with sorrow, but nonetheless, I had to realize that the Republican Party still was in that position. I don't think it would happen today.
What? Just shifting for a moment to this subject of your illness, what is it about your illness that bothers you most on a personal level? What is it, the loss of the tennis?
That's it.
Yeah,
I'm so devoted. I played tennis until about a year ago.
Yeah,
last year for 50 odd years,
huh.
And I adored the game, and it's a great deprivation.
How do you vent the competitive urges that you would have otherwise vented in tennis?
Well, they really are. No more competitive games. I swim.
Yeah.
And I exercise regularly. I keep in shape.
Right.
But I no longer have
it. Hasn't really changed your schedule as far as the Senate is concerned.
No, I have plenty of competition, shall we say, in politics.
Yeah. But I mean, you don't get to knock anybody down anymore.
No.
Basically, the purpose of tennis.
Right.
But it hasn't changed your legislative schedule to any great extent.
Not at all.
You're still able to do it pretty much as what you would have done.
Well, you know, the best
running the rest of us ragged
is this. I'm not trying to commit suicide by running for office.
Right.
So I have confidence, and I feel up to the job. And I see no reason, and the doctors see no reason, why I should forego the job as long as I have a zest for it and able to do it.
Okay, good. A little bit of, oh, we're not quite there yet, okay. This is a weird theory. Somebody propounded to me that there are at least some of your Jewish constituents who may have, at least partially, subconsciously over the years, voted for you to sort of thumb their nose at what they perceive to have been the exclusion of you from the club because of anti-Semitism. Do you think there's any validity to that at all?
I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think. Yep.
Finish this later.
Executives and workers, I joined in getting them the necessary financing, which kept it in business and saved jobs, and gave us something of a pattern for the Northeast. But it isn't necessarily true that a plant has to close when its management feels it ought to close, or really its owners, top corporation, can be saved. This one was saved. And I think it's a great object lesson and delights me because I think that's the way for our area to go. And never give anything up. We've got so little in it.
What did you do to
save
it?
As a working man's candidate?
I've been a working man's candidate for 32 years.
sick of this question, but Governor Kerry continues to explain his Jewish deceit statement, and now Bess Meyerson has canceled the news conference, which was supposed to get us. How do you view the whole situation? Do you think it's going to benefit you?
Why should we get the news? Explain themselves out of the hole. I want to know why. I've never felt that way. I don't feel that way now. I feel that every election is a new election, and the people should pick the best person for the job. I hope they will pick me, because I think I'm the best person for the job. And for absolutely no other reason. And if they don't think so, they should defeat me.
Do you?
Because that's the only test of public service, and that's the way it always ought to be in America.
Do you agree with Governor Kerry that the senator from New York should consider New York State a sister state to Israel?
I haven't heard Governor Kerry say that.
Yesterday.
Well, I'm sorry, and I don't want to get into that at all. New York State, obviously, is not a sister state to Israel or any other country. New York State is New York State. Israel is a country we admire, a friendly nation, a meddlesome nation. There are plenty of problems with it, too. Those problems are attributable to the fact that it's a free and open democracy like our own.
Senator Javits, a number of politicians have been expressing shock at Governor Kerry's statement that this is a seat is a Jewish seat. But isn't that the reality that there are seats in Congress and there are seats in other
media bodies in the history of the world?
Are
nothing there.
Ethnic seats, racial seats that require so-called racial or ethnic representatives.
But Huey says nothing more.
Side. History proves you wrong. Because before Herbert Lehman, who was took office, his memory serves
him right, in 49, that's bad to happen.
There was no Jewish person who held
too much sex
seat in the Senate of the United States. And the only reason that you, a young man, feel that it's somehow rooted in New York history is because probably, so long as you've been around and voting, I've been senator from New York. And the reason is that the people have kept me there a long time, not because I'm Jewish, but because I deliver. And I hope they will again, and only for that reason.
Do you think you've created a trend in the future?
Not at all. They may change right now if they don't think that I'm worthy of the place or can continue to deliver in the way I have in the past. I believe I can. I'm running. I don't think the American people have any illusions after Carter that anybody knows everything. And so they had no illusions about the fact that Governor Reagan is an expert in all versions of foreign and domestic policy. And this one, he happens to have been caught raw on, not ready to answer the question, because he's now showed another quality which is very admirable. He's frank enough to say, I take it back, and the solution of the Taiwan Relations Act, in which I have a right to be something of an expert because I wrote it with Senator Church of Idaho. He's the chairman, and I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee. We wrote this law, and I'm glad he took back what he said. It will uncomplicate our relations with the People's Republic of China, which are very important and to this world and to us, and I don't believe it will have any permanent effect.
Do you think that he's created some real damage, though, to foreign relations?
I can't tell that. I don't think he's created a real damage to the foreign relations of our country. I believe he pulled back just in time.
Senator,
what will
he have to
primaries
do to get out of that comment, though? What will he have to do to heal his image?
Well, if it isn't all that fatal, maybe he doesn't have to do anything, but what I hope he will do is to inform himself very much more thoroughly in the future on matters with which he intends to deal.
What do you have to do to put a distance between yourself and that blunder?
I don't think I have to put any distance between it. I don't think anybody in my state does not believe, whatever else they think about me, that I know my business. And as I said, I'm the author of this law.
Will you be appearing on the same podium with Governor Reagan at any time during the campaign?
Of course I will.
The primary is only a couple of weeks away. How do you view your position? Do you think you might be in trouble because you won't be able to draw from Democrats and independents?
I began to feel I was in trouble when I was about 15 years old took my finals in public school 20. I'm one of those people who's always worried about an election, a test, a vote, anything. It worries me. I think about it. I stew over it. I'm doing exactly the same in this election.
Senator, what's your gut reaction to the commercials that Mr. D'Amato's making, talking about your age and your liberal beliefs?
My gut reaction, if that's what you want to call it, is that it's the first time in 24 years, really 26 years, of campaigning at the state level that I've encountered such a low-level campaign. I don't think it's fitting. What offends me about it is this. Any candidate has a right to do whatever he pleases. But you don't phony up pictures to make somebody look like they're dying. And you don't talk about the fact that, look at him, he looks like he can't last 6 years. And that is just below the belt in American campaigning. But I believe deeply in the people. And I don't have to beat that subject over the head. They'll take care of him.
Did he doctor pictures?
Well, I don't know whether he doctored them or not. The only thing I say is, if you look at me now, and you go look at the picture on television, make your own comparison.
Your own campaign TV spots also play on the question of your age and your health. Why did you feel it was necessary for you to get into that element?
Well, without... people can talk about. I have, I consider, a magnificent record for the people of this state. And my colleagues think so without regard to ideology. And most of the country seems to think so. So I wanted to face whatever people could think about directly, because I thought about it. You think that I want to commit suicide? And that's why I'm running for re-election. I want to live and enjoy the job and do it superbly well.
But was it necessary for you to defend yourself against what you consider a campaign beneath your stature?
I wasn't. At the time that I addressed the subject, I had just announced I was going to run. I didn't know about Mr. D'Amato or anything else, what he would do. So I wasn't addressing myself to any opposition. I was addressing myself to what the people ought to know about.
I'm talking about your current TV spots that talk about how you can be... you sitting down can beat anybody running.
That happens to be one line in about 50 of four different television commercials. I don't think that's over.
Senator, yesterday, Mr. D'Amato criticized you for not adequately doing something about policies which are favoring the Sun Belt federal policies.
Well, that's untrue completely. Nobody fights harder for Grumman and Fairchild than Jacob Javits. And they do about $2 billion worth of business. They're a big hedge against the fact that we are disadvantaged very materially as compared with the Southwest and California in defense orders. And we've got to continue that fight. There are certain equipment which is very important to us, which I fight for, which these enterprises make. Similarly with enterprises in Western New York, same thing. They too make defense equipment. So I have stood up for our side, I think, very effectively. And I just told you about something like this here, the Altec.
What is your part in this, or why did you choose this?
I chose it because it's a cooperative venture between the workers and management to save a plant which otherwise would have been closed.
And you
that
say they
interests
had
me greatly. Who?
Did the company endorse you? Is that what happened here?
I have nothing to do with politics. This end debates this campaign by 3 years.
You said that you saved it. What did you do?
I didn't say I personally saved it. I said that I helped it to be saved by helping it to get a $10 million advance from government agencies, which enabled the rest of the financial plan to work.
When was this?
This was in 76 and 7.
Governor Kerry has indicated that his statements of the recent days wouldn't have been noticed if this hadn't been such a dull campaign. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I wish the campaign were as lively as possible. And I'd like to make it so myself if necessary, because my problem in this primary is whether people will realize that it's a serious matter and that I want them to turn out and vote. Yeah. And because I believe that my winning this primary depends on bringing out the vote. So I'd like it to be as hot as a piston.
Mr. D'Amato yesterday charged you with being in favor of military unions. You voted for a bill that would have stopped military unions.
You got it wrong.
Okay. Explain it
he
to
claims,
me.
I'll explain it to everybody. He claims that I voted for a bill. I wrote it against. I got it wrong myself. But I voted against the bill which would have prohibited servicemen from joining unions. And I announced in the first place, in the course of those votes, I voted against the unionization of service people. And I announced myself completely against it. What happened in that situation is that the same bill would have required technicians working in National Guard armories who were union members to resign from those posts. I fought that and lost in the Senate. And I said I must vote against the bill, though I'm against the unionization of service people, because I've got to win this fight. Very unfair what's being done. And I did. The final bill prevailed with me. So because I used my legislative brains to effect the proper result, Mr. D'Amato, who's very shallow about these things and doesn't know beans about what we do in the Senate or in U.S. legislation, pick this up as a big deal. That's what it's all about.
Senator, what do you think of the Anderson decision?
I don't wish to advance any opinion upon the situation in any other party. When I'm the nominee of my party and I support Governor Reagan or any other candidate who is opposed by Representative Anderson, then I will be ready to speak to the subject.
A recent congressional quarterly survey showed that you voted with the Carter administration 82% of the time in the past session of Congress. Wouldn't this indicate that you are trying to appeal more to Democrats?
That is untrue. I don't try to appeal to Democrats, but I also don't try to butter up Republicans unless they're with the country. And by the way, that's exactly what Governor Reagan just said at the VFW. Used those words exactly. I agree with that. Now, the 82%. I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee. I believe deeply in the bipartisan foreign policy. I don't vote against the president because he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. And half of the votes Mr. D'Amato complains about are votes which were cast coming out of my committee to confirm ambassadors and to ratify treaties and intergovernmental agreements of various kinds. I assure you, as the ranking member, nothing gets out of that committee that I don't agree with and support. And therefore, my real average is about 40-odd percent, and that's about the average of the of most other Republicans, because in our government, you don't vote against everything the president puts up because you're in the opposition. That's not the way we run a country.
Are you looking forward to your debate with Mr. D'Amato on Saturday?
Well, I always look forward. I think it was high time. It's Mr. D'Amato facing.
Senator, Ms. Morrison says that if she were to win the primary and were to be elected, she would put more emphasis on helping New York State, and you would put too much emphasis on foreign relations, that sort of thing.
I think maybe Ms. Morrison reads the newspapers too much instead of really examining into the situation. Certainly, it's hotter news that Senator Church and I received Deng Xiaoping of the People's Republic of China in the Senate than it is that I won a new sewer or water supply for a town in New York. And that's all she's going by. I do a lot of work for the state of New York, and the people of this state, remember, have re-elected me four times and elected me and re-elected me five times, long before Ms. Morrison got on the scene. Okay, everybody, thank you very much. I've said that I consider every election a re-election, a new election. And therefore, I wish to be judged on what I am and what I will be able to do for our people. And there is no such thing as a seat which belongs to anybody, any ethnicity, any religion, or any faith, not in this country. And I never even dreamed of that until this incident came along when it was mentioned. The reason that so many younger people, you know, might have thought about that is because I have been in office about as long as their adulthood. And that's only because the people have kept me there and sent me back, as I hope they will again. Before Lehman, who was elected, I think, in 50, there was no Jewish senator, no senator of the Jewish faith, whoever held this seat. That's a lot of history. And I have held it longer than any senator in our history. And it's the key subcommittee because it deals with the whole labor end of the equation.
Okay.
And I'm the senior member, and I think I still have considerable influence.
Okay, good. Now, over the years, you know, one of the characterizations of you has been a person, as a very serious person not much of a sense of humor and something of a brusque personality. Do you think that is a real liability, or do you think it's an over exaggeration to some extent of your real?
I'm sure everything is liable. But it's compensated for by the fact that I'm a hard worker, that I'm concentrated. It's not that I'm a rude person, or that I don't enjoy a joke, or that I don't love all the things that, you know, that people love in art and music and food and sports and travel and everything, like anybody else. But I am serious, and I get my mind fixed on something, and I'm inclined to, you know, treat everything else for the moment as being ancillary to that.
Okay.
But I don't think, as I say, I'm, you know, willing to pay for assets too. One of my assets is my concentration.
Okay. In 74, against Ramsey Clark, who by all accounts was a little bit way out from the country's temperament at that time, your majority slipped somewhat from previous years. Does that concern you? Does that seem like a trend to you, or was it just a one-time thing?
I don't think it was a trend. I think it was a moment immediately post-Watergate,
right,
which was a moment of great disillusion. I had just been to Cuba, which was rather enterprising, because no senator had been there. Senator Palomai went.
Right.
And I didn't forego it because I was in an election. I went the last of September. Pretty risky business.
Right.
The Daily News in New York says it cost me several hundred thousand.